This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back to Wells Tech. My name is Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And this is episode 344 for Tuesday, June 3rd, 2014. And we're coming to you on location from Jackson, Wisconsin at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center of Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School.
Really nice place to be. Happy to be here side by side with you.
Yep. And we don't get to do this too often, but when we do, we wear our blue shirts.
It's the uniform. That's right.
The uniform. Yes, so. Exactly. So what are we doing in Jackson?
We are here for Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School's association event. It's called Tech and Teach this year. It's kind of a way to end the school year for their teachers and give them some good ideas to contemplate over the summer as they plan for a new year.
Right. And this is something that they've done for a couple years now, and we're going to bring in Kurt Gosdeck in just a minute to tell us a little bit more about a little bit of the history. But you and I were here as presenters, and it was a lot of fun. We had people just kind of on the exit side of a school year, so it's great that they were willing to do that, but also kind of thirsty for a lot of things technology-related. And you were doing Google stuff. I was doing Google stuff. What were you doing?
I did some forms breakout sessions, so taught them a lot about the basics of forms. Forms looks pretty simple on the outside, but there's a lot of the nuances that you can apply to your Google Forms and gather data in a lot of different ways. The focus was hands-on. They called it a make-and-take kind of seminar, so I made them work in my classes, and they left with, hopefully, some good ideas that they can apply to gather data in their classrooms.
And I sat in on one of your classes, and I was really intrigued by a couple of the add-ons that are available for Google Forms these days. One was Flubaru, which would be very powerful in the hands of a teacher who wanted to use forms for, you know, assessments, you know, grabbing forms, data, and then scoring it, the ability to do that. And then what was really impressive, I think, was the communication side, where you could communicate the score back to anybody who provided an email address.
Yep. It does it all for you. We did it with, 35 or so people, and it took about 5 minutes to grade all those exams and send them an email with their results. So
Right. That's
a lot nicer than doing it by hand, for
sure.
Awesome. So what were you presenting on, Martin?
I was presenting on Google Presentations, formerly called Google Slides, and that is Google's version of PowerPoint. And I spent probably the half of the session really just talking about good design and presentation practices, both on the slide design but also on the presentation of that, and how speaker notes are extremely important and handouts are important, as well as just the slide and trying to keep your eyes from the slide and keep them on the audience or the students. So a lot of good stuff there, a lot of tools around that platform as well. So.
Well, that was their lucky day to learn presentations from you. You're good at that stuff, so
yeah,
good deal.
I don't know. I tell them what I know, and you know, hopefully they take home a kernel of something.
Yeah, all right, definitely.
So I mentioned Kurt Gosdeck. Before, we're going to ask Kurt to come in and talk to us a little bit about the conference itself. Kurt, you are a teacher in Kewaskum, Wisconsin.
Correct.
At
St. Lucas.
St. Lucas. I forgot it again. St. Lucas in Kewaskum. And you teach?
I teach third and fourth grade.
Third and fourth grade.
And serve as our technology director.
Okay.
So.
Very good. And you were also somewhat the brains behind this conference this year. You were on the committee.
I was.
And tell us a little bit about the history of the conference, how many people were here, and what maybe the objective is.
We had in attendance between 190 and 200. I don't have an exact count because I was presenting during the day.
Yep.
So I was a co-chair with James Karlofsky from Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School and soon to be Martin Luther College, so he'll be seeing Sally around.
Yeah.
And Kettle has a conference every year for its teachers, and we have it in June so that we can take what we learn and apply it to our next school year. So this year he wanted to have an emphasis on technology along with our curricular emphasis of art and science. And so we kind of took the Google emphasis with technology, but also had some other, just the regular curriculum in there. And so it was not just technology, so if you wanted to get out of technology, you could make some art or look at some science and get your brain thinking.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And a wide variety of speakers and breakout sessions. You yourself were a speaker, led, what, three different sessions today?
Three different sessions. One was repeated. So,
wow, busy
yes.
day and a lot of prep for you.
Yeah, so between creating the website and soliciting speakers and then putting all my presentations together, all while my kitchen was being redone.
Oh, wow. Serious stuff.
It's some taxing stuff.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It was an excellent day, and I think people took a lot away from the conference, and I'm hoping that they use some of the items that we taught them. So one of my sessions was using Google Apps with struggling learners. We all have them in our classrooms. You can't get away from them. And I presented a couple options where teachers could have text read to a student. So if they're maybe not a good reader, they have trouble with phonics, they could follow along the text being read. And in this day and age with digital textbooks, I think that would be something important. So there's several apps there, and you can find them on the website as soon as I get to it.
So it is truly reading the words on the screen to the student.
Yes.
It's not an audio version of it, like an audiobooks version. It's really scraping the screen and reading it.
Correct.
How good is it as far as, you know, capturing the tonality and, you know, the grammar and those kinds of things? Because sometimes computer-generated speech is a little bit wooden and maybe doesn't emphasize the exact right sentence, portion of a sentence.
I would say that it has come a long way.
Okay.
The read and write for Google is pretty tremendous. Obviously, you're getting a computer-generated voice, which one might get sick of after a while, but
right.
then again, they can get sick of their own teacher's voice. So
right.
So it is a change of pace. But
okay.
For the most part, it's pretty accurate. There's always some names or places that throw it off, but I would say that for classroom purposes, it's really good.
Great. Great.
Very good.
And then you went on to a couple of funny-sounding applications here. Doctopus and Goobrick.
Yes.
What is Doctopus and Goobrick? It sounds like a couple cartoon characters. You know?
Well, it's kind of a combination. Doctopus is a way to get your
Doctopus in order.
So the way to get your documents out to school via a sharing method.
Okay.
So you use a spreadsheet. You go through some steps, and it automatically sends and shares it with all your students. The neat thing about Doctopus is you can send, for instance, an assignment to all the students, or if you need to differentiate for different levels, you can send different assignments to different students.
Okay.
Or I've even used it in my classroom to split students into groups,
mm-hmm.
and you can use it with documents or with Google Drawings or even with presentations.
Okay.
And have the students complete that. The Goobrick part of that is once you have sent the document out, and if it's a piece of writing, for instance, and the student has completed that, you can actually attach a rubric which implants itself inside the document, and so that writing rubric is right there with your comments for the student to see.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Okay. So,
and then you kind of finished off the day talking about flipped classrooms and some of the technology around that, which has been around now for a little while, but that I think with the advent of Chromebooks and those kinds of things, there's a lot of stuff that Google has in that area and some applications for that. One that I walked in on your class and you were talking about MoveNote, which I'd never heard of before, kind of a tool, cool technology that works within a browser, right?
Yes. MoveNote is one where you can actually create your presentation ahead of time. You can upload it. You can also upload images or documents, and then they'll stream across. The nice thing about MoveNote, depending on who you are, is it also records you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's recording you speaking as you're going through your presentation. For teachers, it's a good way at a lower elementary level for students to get practice with those presentation skills before they actually get out into an audience. And as a teacher, you get some entertainment with the MoveNote as a student's looking at their webcam. For instance, I had one student.
It's a whole new world for them, right? It's like a full-time selfie.
Got the presentation going, and his cat's walking around, walking across the keyboard, and he's swatting the cat away. And so the minute and 30-second presentation took like 3 minutes. But, hey, I got some entertainment out of it. So
very good.
Excellent. Well,
Kurt,
good
thank
stuff.
You for sharing that with us. How many people attended, do you know? Did you say?
Yes. We you had did. Between 190 and 200.
Okay, great. So. Awesome.
And then for those who are interested in the session resources, they are on the Kettle Moraine Tech and Teach conference
website,
which you will be sharing with us.
Yeah,
so, in the show notes.
In the show. That's
good,
for
so.
Sure.
All right. Kurt, thank you.
All right,
thanks
thank
for
you.
All that you do.
Yeah, definitely.
Rachel, we're going to ask Rachel Pearson to come on the stage at this point.
Yes.
Rachel is a, I don't know what level of teach,
sixth
what
grade.
Class?
I
sixth
am
grade?
A sixth grade class.
But now also
teacher.
The technology coordinator director at Trinity in Waukesha, mm-hmm. Wisconsin. Congratulations, I think, on that new role.
Yeah, some would say it's a promotion. I
right.
don't know. Many things I was doing already, but now I actually have a title, so that's been exciting.
Very good.
So,
and you were a presenter here as well, and you've helped us out in the past with our on-conference stuff, and you took a couple of topics that don't always seem like topics. One of them was Google Chrome, you know, which is a browser. How do you have a class on Google Chrome?
It's more challenging than you'd think, actually.
Yes.
When polling my audience today, I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but there were more hands than I thought that had never actually used Google Chrome as a browser before.
Okay.
In fact, no offense to this particular person, but I had a question that, well, what's the difference between Google Chrome and Google.com?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good conversation on what the difference is between a browser and an actual website.
Yeah.
So
it really is an application these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole platform with an ecosystem.
Yep. So we talked a lot about the different areas of the browser, what the Omnibox and where the apps go and bookmarks and extensions and a lot of the settings that you can change to tweak and make Chrome work the best you can for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I told all the people that were attending, you know, the way I do it may not be the best way for you, so you have to find out the best way that it'll work for you and take that and run with it.
Your mileage may vary.
Exactly.
Well, I think for me, logging into Google Chrome has just really made a difference as I switch computers often and that kind of thing. So that's pretty cool to learn about that stuff too.
Yeah, we talked about keeping your school information separate from your personal information and having your personal Google account and your school Google account. You can log into Chrome with both of them, but keep them separate at the same time. Have different windows for your different purposes.
Right. So that basic stuff, those teachers can take and apply and teach their students as well. I'm thinking students don't always know all these things either. Maybe we think they do.
Right, it's true. A lot of the kids coming up in our schools today, a lot of teachers will assume that they just have this knowledge because they've been using it since they were very young, but all the ins and outs of things they don't always think about as they're using this technology. So learning the basics of what's behind it and how they can change it to their advantage is one of the important things they can learn.
Excellent.
And then your next class kind of built on that and all the things that kind of can be added to Google Chrome, applications and extensions. Maybe first of all tell us what's the difference between an application in Chrome and an extension.
Absolutely. Applications are like fancy bookmarks.
Okay.
In the Chrome App Store, a lot of websites have put together an app for their site that you can get to on an apps page or an apps little button on your browser. Those are fancy bookmarks, and so it's an easier thing for teachers to say to younger children to say, click on the butterfly instead of type in pixlr.com.
Right.
So it's easy for kids to be able to find things that way. An extension, in contrast, is something that extends the use of your browser. Those sit up near the Omnibox and can give you things like the current weather report or whether or not someone has edited a document you've shared with them, or a way for you to pin things to Pinterest or save things to your Google Drive.
Hey, you need that Pinterest one, Mark.
Yeah.
He likes
right
Pinterest a lot, right?
Okay. I do.
Yeah.
So one of the challenging things I guess I experienced in my class, and maybe you two did as well, was just the scope, the width and breadth of the experience of the people in the class. Some are deer in the headlights, and others are, give me more, I can't get enough.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find the sweet spot when you're presenting? I think you have to give a little bit for everybody, right?
That is very true. You know, you have people in there, like I said, who have never used Chrome as a
right.
browser before, and then you have people who are the technology director at a high school
right.
that are in your sessions that, what can I give you that you don't already know?
Right.
So I will say that there were some things that I brought up that the technology directors, oh, yeah, I had forgotten about that.
Right.
But you can really create a culture of collaboration and say, okay, in this 10 minutes of work time I'm going to give you to go browse the Chrome Web Store,
sure.
share with your neighbors what you're finding. Tell them ideas about how you can use this in your classroom or what benefit it could have to you.
Right.
So even the people who are deer in the headlights, I don't know anything about this, can get help from those people who have experience.
Right. You're creating an environment yep. where that's acceptable and encouraged. And
so,
I think wherever anybody is, it's important to understand, you know, take it at whatever pace you need to take it, but take it.
Yeah,
because
yes.
technology in the educational space is just a critical piece of the process.
Yep. If you learn one thing that you can use, then it's been a success.
Right.
Did you learn something today? I did.
Yeah, you know, there were a couple apps and extensions that people shared in our document that we made that I had never heard of before. So hopefully
awesome.
Be taking those and seeing what I can yep. do with them for next
year. Yeah, I heard
year.
A whole discussion around trying to annotate PDFs
yes.
on
yep.
a Chromebook. Because you don't have all the tools. You don't have Adobe Reader, for instance,
yes.
that can be used.
So. I think the teacher had taken his Christlight and made a PDF of them and
right.
wanted the kids to be able to take notes on them digitally. And I forget the name of what it was that we found that could do it, but it's in our notes, and it'll
Excellent.
Be on the website, I'm sure.
Very good.
So,
very good.
Rachel, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Thank you for spending a little extra time here at Kettle as well. I know you got a long ride back.
That's all right.
And appreciate what you did.
Well,
here.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. All right, Sally, where do we go from here? We should probably move on to basically the two big items that are on our agenda yet for today's kind of special podcast, and that's ministry resources and listener reviews. Those are two areas that we've been encouraging contributions all year,
right.
and we've got some prizes that we're going to draw yet today. But
sure.
But we do have some last-minute entries to both of those categories we want to go through and send some good stuff. So let's talk about ministry resources first.
Right. This is a segment on our show every week, Martin, and we have a long list of ministry resources on our website. But the idea this year was to encourage people to submit new ministry resources, something that's making a difference in their public or personal ministry. And two that came in this week just got in under the radar, under the gun before we did our drawing. One from Leslie Bergerman. She actually recommended using Vimeo. And some of the capabilities with Vimeo channels and RSS feeds. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you host your video generated from your church or school on the Vimeo website, and then you can organize it using combinations of albums and channels.
Right.
And each of those has its own RSS feed. And the power with RSS is that you can repurpose that information in other ways. So Leslie has taken the RSS feed, fed it on her website, so that when she updates Vimeo, her website is automatically updated.
Right.
No
RSS is just an incredibly useful technology. We use it on the Wells mobile app to bring in the Wells Tech podcast stuff, the daily devotions, all that stuff is RSS-able and gives us just a quick and easy way to use a very old technology now for a very good purpose. And if you go to their website, you can see how that works out. And we'll provide a link to all of her detailed instructions about how to do that.
Yeah.
It's actually not that hard, but it's something that you just need to be careful about how the steps that you take mm-hmm. and in what order you take them.
And then once you set it up, it does the magic for you.
That's
and
right.
you don't have to do
she
it every
She just posts
month.
Stuff on
yeah.
Vimeo, and then it immediately appears on the website. So.
Great webmaster trick. So.
Thank you, Leslie, for sharing that.
So. Absolutely. We also heard from Pastor Steve Daly,
I think he's in South Haven, Michigan, and he sent in a link to bulletjournal.com. I really like this link, Martin. I'm not sure.
You must have to do something with paper.
Yeah, it does involve paper. It's not super techy, although they have a really slick website. So you guys have to head over to Bullet Journal to learn more about it. The concept is that you can use any notebook and turn it into your task list / calendar, appointment manager, note-taking device, all in one. And they basically give you kind of a shorthand and methodology to adopt and use consistently. So as you list a task, you put a little square before it so you can check it off. If it's an appointment, you put a circle. If it's a note, you put a bullet point, a filled-in circle. And it gets a lot more complicated than that.
I like the productivity side of
this. Yeah, it's definitely got some potential. It's interesting, though, because Pastor Daly wrote and said, you know, he's used a lot of different tools, and he's fallen in love with a lot of different tools, and they go away. You know, in this day and age, you can't guarantee that tool's going to be there tomorrow.
Right.
And so he's kind of come full circle back to this paper, and I was like, me too, Pastor Daly.
Okay.
So I hear where you're coming from with that.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
So that whole category of ministry resources, we've got a bunch of them. So we want to remind people, if you go to the wellstech.wells.net resource page or show notes page and click on ministry resources in the top, you're going to find not just the 10 that are submitted for our little drawing here, but just a ton of stuff that we've done over we've done it for many years now. So lots
Six
of great
and a
resources
half years.
There.
That's
so
a long time.
Did we start with ministry resources?
I think we did
right away.
Okay. That's one of our initial segments. So.
Okay.
Time to pick a winner?
Is it time to pick a winner? Yeah. So what we've done, and we didn't have any oversight, so you just have to trust us. But Sally put everybody in a spreadsheet, and there's 10 of them there, and gave them a number and randomized those numbers,
yes.
So it's not in alphabetical order, for instance.
Or the order they were submitted
right.
or anything like that.
So Sally's going to use random.org and generate a random number, and then we will find out who that number is.
And they're going to win?
They are going to win an Apple TV.
Cool.
So,
well, Brent Nemers from Texas, Atonement in Plano,
very
who
good.
Told us about Office 365 going free for nonprofits back in the day.
Very good.
Brent has won an Apple TV. Congratulations,
okay.
Brent.
So we'll be sending that down to Texas.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll probably communicate via email, make sure you're still there.
He's still there.
Okay.
He's somebody I know.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Congratulations, Brent. And thank you to everybody who submitted a ministry resource. Those will live on and hopefully provide some good value to people looking for those kinds of resources. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Should we move on to listener reviews? This was an interesting category because it's kind of wide open. Anything that you wanted that you've used in your ministry, either professional or personal ministry, could be productivity-wise, could be a website, a piece of hardware, a phone, piece of software, whatever, that you could submit. What we asked is that you review it. So you rate it. What was it good for? What did you like? What didn't you like? Kind of the pros and cons, so that if people are considering that particular tool or product, they could get a kind of a first-hand review from somebody that they trust, you know, another mm-hmm. fellow Wells Tech listener.
There you go.
And we had a bunch of new submissions in this category. So
popular category, and people got it in under the gun to be part of our drawing. We're going to be giving away a Nexus 7 tablet. Very
right.
exciting. Starting with a review from Julia WagonConnect. She wrote to us about Trello.
Trello is something, I don't know if I've talked about it on the show, but I've tried it and used it in the past. It's basically a task or project management tool. So, and it's very visual. It works on little note cards, and you add items, and you can pin stuff. You might like that part
Pinning.
Of it. Yeah, you can pin stuff, pictures, task list. I think you can throw different files in there. And it kind of works around this note card concept where one note card represents a project. So it has notifications. It has kind of a fun interface. I think it has some mobile apps now that can mm-hmm. work with it. And Julia was using it for ministry projects, I think, in the mission field. So.
Right. She's involved with the Latin American mission team, and they're actually adopting it. And she was really excited because it is cloud-based.
Right.
They can actually work with it from wherever they are around the world.
Yep.
And she's even done some training where everyone was online at the same
time, real time, and they could see each other moving their cards and interacting with their and adding comments.
It's a very cool tool. It's very well done. And and I believe a lot of functionality is available for free. If there are some premium features, of course. But if you're looking for some kind of project management tool, a coordination tool, task management tool, Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O, is maybe something good to try. So thanks, Julia.
Yeah. Next up, we heard from Aaron Lobbs, I'm guessing, who's an English instructor here at Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School.
Okay.
She sent me a link to some documentation she put together for teachers on using EasyBib. It's an add-on for Google Docs, and it allows the students to build their bibliographies right there within Google Docs. And what was exciting was she put together this set of documentation geared toward teachers to orient them, and she shared that. So we PDF that documentation, and if you go to Erin's review, you can get the benefit of the documentation she put together
for nice
Kettle
job.
Teachers.
She really did. So.
Thanks for sending us that.
Cool.
And
very
for the
fitting
review.
with the Google theme we have going here today,
there you
too,
go.
And a Kettle teacher.
Excellent.
So
got it all going on.
All right. Next one was from Steve Daly.
Yeah.
And he was talking about a phone.
Yeah, it's a particular Android phone.
Right.
It's the ZTE 796C. And he actually recorded an audio submission for us. So we told people you could send us these submissions in whatever format. So you'll want to head over to his review page and actually listen to his voice telling you what he thinks of this phone. It's a fairly low-priced
They call
cell
them
phone.
Like burner phones, I think. You can find them in the Walmarts and those
right,
kinds of places.
Exactly.
But they do have a full-blown smartphone operating system, like in this case, Android.
Right. And Steve's been using it at the cost of, I think, $45 a month with Straight Talk Wireless. Mm-hmm. And he gives some of the pros and cons. Obviously, the price. And if the congregation is providing you a cell phone, it's a more affordable solution.
Sure.
For the congregation, it does give you the basic apps. It doesn't have a lot of extra space on it. I think it only gets to 3G, not 4G. You know, so there's some trade-off there. But
so it's your mom's phone.
Yep, my mom has this phone, and it's working for her. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Steve, for your submission. Next one.
Next up, we have Unify by Ubiquity. This is a submission from Mike Wisniewski, who's at Abiding Word Lutheran School in Houston.
Yep.
And we've talked about Unify before.
In fact, that's what they use here at Kettle Moraine Lutheran. Josh Shanick, who's sitting right over there in our live audience, put that system in and seemed to work well for the 200 people that were here.
Yes, definitely.
That's really the system I recommend to congregations and schools. That's what we put in at Asia Lutheran Seminary. It's just an affordable solution, and I think maybe the best part about it is it's easy for maybe somebody who doesn't understand a lot about networking to put in place. The interface is fairly easy. It's graphical, and it just handles the load pretty well. So I think it's a good fit for a lot of our schools. And so the review he gives, I think, kind of reemphasizes
and
that.
And very affordable.
Yep.
I will say, we have one at our home. But, of course, we have teenage boys who like to invite a whole bunch of guys over to play video games online and stuff.
So you have first-hand experience
with it
as well.
We're the happening place because we have great internet at our house.
So if you want to see how it's all set up, go to New Ulm and
we'll give you the guest
go to the Drapers.
Password because we have a guest account.
Very good. So thank you, Mike, for that submission, and that's a great review.
We heard from Damon Tracy, who teaches at Lakeside Lutheran High School, audio-video coordinator there, and he uses some really fancy technology for video mixing.
Yep. And I wouldn't say it's fancy for anybody who's in video. This is really kind of standard stuff. He's recommending a Blackmagic Design video mixer, and you can find more information on it. A couple of the reasons that he's suggesting that over some other products is the price. And those of you that use Blackmagic products may not think, well, they're kind of the low end, because they're really not. They're really quality equipment. We just bought some devices that go along with our new streaming solution. But he's talking about a video switcher and some of the reasons why that's the best choice. One of them is that the mixing or the operation of the mixer can happen with a remote computer, so you don't have to be right at this mixer, which is a rack-mountable piece of equipment. You don't have to be right at it. You can hook up a computer to it. He also likes that it's all digital, SDI, which stands for...
Super-duper digital something.
Something interface, yes. Yeah. It's all digital. And the reason that SDI is better than like former technology like HDMI is the length of the cable that you can run. You're really limited to the length of an HDMI cable. You can run an SDI cable over 100 meters. So that's one of the benefits for using something like that. So.
Excellent.
So if you want to know more about video switchers, if your congregation or school is in the market for one, and a lot of congregations are going to video now, this is maybe a review you're going to want to take a look at. And it's an extensive review. He gives a lot of pros and cons for it. So.
Definitely. Thanks for putting that time in. We really appreciate it. We also heard from Mike Plucker, who's a teacher at St. Paul's in New Ulm, my son's eighth grade teacher, as it turns out. And he gave us a review in an area we really haven't spent a lot of time on in the podcast, and that is door security. And the vendor that they use, it's called Bright Blue, and it allows them to electronically open their doors, basically, of the school. And so getting out of the habit of having someone with the key have to show up to let people in, it is nice because he actually paired it with an open VPN solution for his smartphone, so he can be anywhere
and open the door.
You know, and okay, you have 5 seconds, the door's going to click, go in now, and that kind of thing. He talked about giving the food service people, the UPS people, that kind of thing, access with a card so they can get in and out of the doors without, you know, having to ring a bell and wait for someone to unlock for them or whatever.
Right.
So lots of positives with this Bright Blue system that they use at St. Paul's. Right. So.
And certainly something every school needs, if they aren't considering it, probably needs to with, you know, all the recent issues with, you know, the Sandy Hooks and those kinds of school situations.
Security.
It's just something that needs to be done. So,
all right. One more on our list for this week's submissions. And this one came from Pastor Tim Wagner. He recommends Library Thing. And maybe we talked about this once on the podcast. I don't know. But it's a system for organizing your books in the cloud. And it uses the UPC symbols off the books. Libraries use it. You could use it on your own personal book collection if you wanted to. And so he has a great write-up and the ways that he uses it and just different scanners that he coupled with it and things like that.
Yep.
So
great.
Excellent.
See a little
write-up.
Picture of the QCAT in there, which is part of his write-up. I think we did talk about that long ago.
That was, I remember that.
That was that free little... reader that you could get, or a very low-cost reader that actually is very effective, and I know a number of school libraries that use those kinds of tools still. So
all kinds of technology and ministry that wasn't on the radar, so it's great to get these reviews.
So the time has come, Sally, for us to pick a random number. How many total do we have in this category?
We have 16 to
16
pick from.
16 listener reviews.
The odds are good for you guys.
Okay, so Sally's done
really
the same
nervous.
Thing. And is going to provide a random number. Go ahead.
Not looking. And the winner, and I can't say his name. It's
Kurt Gosdick.
Not Kurt Gosdick. Sorry, Kurt. It's Tim
Gablehouse.
There you go. He sent me the pronunciation.
Yes.
But he just recently reviewed for us Staying Fit with Tech, and he talked about all the different technology he uses, a withing scale and a Fitbit, and pairs it all up. And it was a great write-up and a good inspiration for you to stay fit with tech, and that won him a Nexus 7 tablet.
Very
so
nice. So
congratulations,
we'll get that out to
Tim.
Right. Thanks to everybody who submitted something, and we are certainly not going to stop encouraging submissions or listener reviews or ministry resources. Those are extremely valuable to share, and we may not have a contest around them, but we definitely want to keep that category going.
Yeah, so. We learned so much from our listeners, for sure.
So if you want to contribute those kinds of things to the show or find out what other people have written or said, wellstech.wells.net is the place to go. We also are on all the social networks, including Pinterest. There's just lots of opportunities to connect with us. Just send us an old email. WellsTech@wells.net is certainly appropriate as well. So
you'll want to go there because we have started a new segment on our show where we feature a video each week. And since we're broadcasting here from the PAC at Kettle Moraine Lutheran, I actually found a video created by Josh Shanick that features the new building has some beautiful photography, and you can actually see the location.
It's a gorgeous facility.
Kind of all the stats and things around the building project and that kind of thing. It's a really well done video, and I thought it would be real appropriate to feature on Wells Tech this week as we are having the privilege to broadcast here.
Thank you. And thanks to Kettle for allowing us to do this here. Really
Definitely.
Appreciate that. And to the conference for promoting, you know, our little podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're starting our summer series. Those of you that are longtime listeners will know that we kind of ratchet it down just a little bit over the summer because we have things to do and vacations to take. And but that doesn't mean we stop the podcast because we've done it every week for 6.5 years. And next week we are starting a summer series, kind of rebooting our wiki site, right?
Yep, we have a Wells Tech Wiki. It's at wellstechwiki.wells.net. And you guys know that wikis are meant to be collaborative sites. So this is a uber resource sharing site, and it covers all different topics. And it's kind of gotten a little unwieldy. We haven't been weeding our garden there very much.
We weren't
much
real
lately.
Happy with the platform that
right.
where the direction the platform went. So we're kind of using open source technology,
right.
MediaWiki, the same thing that you'll see on Wikipedia. So
right.
we won't quite have as many entries, but they'll be valuable.
Right. We're going to do a migration, and it's going to take us all summer to do it because there's a lot of content currently on the Wells Tech Wiki, and we want to move it over and get it all organized and cleaned up and more modernized because some of it is from way back in history, and we need to update it. And we are looking to our listeners to contribute to the Wiki, create an account, and add to the pages as we update them and kind of go through all of that great content.
It's kind of a combination of ministry resources and listener reviews is what that Wiki is.
Right.
So tune in next week for that. Same time, same place, 4 o'clock, Tuesday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and we'll do it. We'll do 3:45.
We will.
Episode 3:45.
4 o'clock, 3:45.
No, we're not going to start 15 minutes early.
Okay, good thing.
3:45. Thanks, everybody, for joining us at the KML PAC, and have a great week. We'll see you next week.